Hey, friends, I have a special treat across the seas. We're going over to Belfast and catching up with Pastor Gary McKibben on this Worldview Matters episode that's coming up.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
God bless you, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, I know it's redundant. I always say thank you for sharing the podcast, but it is amazing how it's getting out there. I mean, we have only been doing this, I mean, less than 2 years, and it's astounding the growth, and that's because of you under God's sovereignty. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. So Gary is the lead pastor for Victory Church in Belfast, Ireland, and the website is victorychurchbelfast.com. Gary, he's got such an interesting background. He's a former professional kickboxing champion and martial arts master. He's just an amazing guy. And so the spiritual warfare, fighting the good fight, he really used to fight. And now he fights in the spiritual as a pastor and all the things he's involved with. But if you missed the previous podcast we did with Gary, it's on the Freedom Project website, or you can go to worldviewmatters.tv. There it is. And just put his name in there to catch up on that one. Talked about his background a little bit more. Worldviewmatters.tv. In the search, you can put in Gary McKibben. And the last podcast was God's Perfect Timing. We talked about converging events and some prophetic milestones. So, Pastor Gary, thank you so much for your time today. And good to see you, brother.
You too. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, first, let's tell the story about your book. We talked about that last time you were on. You kind of got a laugh. It was funny that you shared the story about the cover. So let's go over and talk about your book, which is Guardians at the Gate. There's the original cover. Go ahead and share the story, Gary. It's interesting.
So the cover's been changed. Now, it depends who you buy it off. If you buy it directly from the church, you will get a cover like this. And if you buy it off Amazon, because Amazon just seemed to not like our design, did not like the artistry around it. I don't think they particularly like the book, but it's selling anyway. So, the book is primarily about how I believe the gates of hell are cracking open in terms of the eschatology of things, how that we're at an age of a Laodicean age, but now we're starting to see things terraform in the atmosphere. I think back to the likes of the 80s and stuff, you know, and that would be an era that I was comfortable with. And as opposed to now, it just seems so much darker. So we take it in the book, we go through things like megalithic structures and their play in the Nephilistic news cycle, how things are sort of coming to that peak and that crescendo of things, and what really is the role of the church in this age, in this Laodicean age, how we remain victorious in spiritual warfare. And so it delves into spiritual warfare. We had the great Josh Peck wrote the foreword for it. So I always joke, the book is worth getting even just for the foreword. If you ignore everything else, the foreword's good. So, yeah, you can get it at Amazon now. So it's finally on Amazon. So
awesome. So we will direct people to your website, Victory Church Belfast. And also, friends, if it's easy, if you have Amazon, if you have that, the app on your iPhone, you can just punch in that and put in Guardians at the Gate by Gary McKibben. I was checking out some of that, Josh Peck's foreword. So, Gary, we'll talk a little bit more about that, because I think the Laodicean church is a pretty important topic. And in America, we don't have a lot to compare ourselves to, because we don't go to the Revelation 2 and 3. We just look at the church in America, and then we just kind of see, well, where did we lose it? Where did we start getting comfortable? Where did we start conforming to the world? Where did we start promoting seeker-sensitive churches and outreaches and on and on and on. A lot of questions to be answered. But before we do that, you've got a conference coming up at Victory Church, correct? It's a prophecy conference with some of our friends, Pete Garcia, Lee Brainerd. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's February 20th, 1st of March, and 2nd of March. It's the purpose of this and the sort of theme of the conference is being battle ready. The idea that we're in this spiritual warfare at the minute. So, as the things increase, as things converge, as times get darker, we've got Lee Brainard, Pete Garcia, Kurt Reed, Pastor Troy Brewer, and myself, and we'll all be talking on this and giving perspectives of certain major prophecies that are converging, reshaping of the world, how it's happening right now, but also what, like the book, what the Christian needs to be focused on at this point, because we've got a small window here, a small season. So, yeah, so end of this month. Or is it the end of February, start of March?
And it's right on the homepage, friends. You can get the info right there, victorychurchbelfast.com. Sounds fascinating. There are a lot of battles to be fought. And man, the church, I know there's a remnant, and we're pleased with the strength of the remnant, solid Bible-believing pastors and prophecy guys and people that really are on the cutting edge. But unfortunately, that's the minority. Gary, would you care to speak to that? I'm guessing that your church is one that's on the front lines, fighting a good fight, and maybe that's not the case in most of Ireland. As in America, most of America, they're just, I don't know, we've got a lot of work to do, right?
Well, when you talk about the remnant, it says in Revelation 3, talking about the Church of Philadelphia, that you're of little strength. And I that strength depiction is more about the size and the capability and the authority in terms of the world. It's not saying that you're little strength in terms of your capability, because a thousand may fall at one side, 10,000 another. Yeah, we are in the minority. Certainly, Ireland's very amillennial in its approach, within the church, and therefore the idea of looking at eschatology or dispensationalism. There's it's not the majority of the church doing this, but we certainly believe that, it's kind of like fight. If you walk into a fight and you've no idea what your opponent is up to or who your opponent is, then how are you ever going to combat that fight? And, being aware of the times and the seasons that we're in, I think is paramount for the spiritual walk that we have. So yeah, we are in the minority, but at the same time, I think the remnant's strong, and we know in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 that he comes back for those who remain. But the Greek word actually depicts remnant. It comes back for a remnant, for those that are holding fast to his word and holding fast to his name, the affirmation given to the Church of Philadelphia.
I know there's a lot of differences in our countries, but I think, am I right in indicating that maybe there's some parallels when it comes to the church, meaning they're like what you just talked about. There are some strong churches that do understand the times, and pastors, church leaders, godly men, boldly standing for the truth of God's word and seeing prophecy and understanding the convergence and all the events. And then there's the majority who maybe either some have even fallen away. I mean, the Bible warns about apostasy too, about churches and leaders falling away. So is there a similarity there with America from what you know about American churches and in Ireland?
Yeah, I would actually say that probably in the Western world, the church model that we have tends to be set from American example as opposed to from a biblical example. So if you're talking about certainly evangelical churches, certainly those of those of the Protestant denominations, they would be mimicking to a large degree that which is produced out of America. So, but that would mean we're slightly behind. So, where you guys have been through the seeker movement, the church growth movement, that's embraced here. So when you're standing up saying, like Noah did in his day, that the time of judgment is coming, that's an unpopular message. So it's no wonder that you're in the minority. But at the same time, I say, even though we preach that, we preach hope and we preach the confidence that comes from walking with Christ.
That's right. I was thinking that they don't like judgment. They don't like repentance. The R word, repentance. They don't like discipleship. There's so many things. Gary, how did we get so far away from that? You mentioned the church in the West, and then you look at the true biblical church. And man, it's just, you know, what happened? How do you think we got here to this place as far as the church goes, church models today?
Well, I think, to be honest, you know, you can take it in two senses. You've got from about the 1900s, from that would be marked in dispensationalism as the start of the age of Laodicea. And the church certainly adopted that lukewarm approach. We could look at Bonhoeffer and his rebuke of the church throughout World War II because they were lukewarm. They didn't want to get engaged in things. But then you look at it from the other model, and again, has come from America and is sort of spread across the world, in which the church tends to operate nowadays as a business compared to the model of the Book of Acts. You know, it's about bums on seats. It's about how many people are sitting there, how many people are putting into the offering or tithing, as opposed to, well, let's equip the body of Christ for the season that we're in. And I think that's how we've got to the place that we're in. But all of this is kind of, it's prophetic. The fact that the church goes to this route is no different than the model of the world and how the world is going down that track. You know, we talked briefly offline about the restructuring of the world order and how we're seeing that right now. You know, we see things like the Abrahamic shield plan that is now being, that seems to be well on its way to being implemented, and that's the plan that allows normalization to resume between Saudi Arabia and Israel, but in the midst of that, it also allows for that territory of Gaza to be under Saudi Arabian kind of management. And that's biblical, that's converging. But it's the reshaping of things. So just as the church has been reshaped in terms of kind of entering the dispensation of being lukewarm, and I'm not talking about the like every church or every church member, but that is that like you said, that's the majority. But also we're starting to see the reshaping of the world system, and we're all converging to that point. And I think this is why the church needs to be aware of prophecy, because we need to be aware of, look, don't let the system that's developing cause you to be changed into that lukewarm attitude. One of the things I hear continually from people is that they are becoming weary or wearisome because, you know, you're seeing the growth of technocracy, you're seeing the world restructuring, you're seeing the growth of AI, you're seeing hearing things like Stargate and all of this stuff that we know is right out of theosophy. You're hearing all of this, and then you're seeing the wickedness in the world, and you can grow weary. But the truth of it is, you should actually be invigorated, like a fighter, right?
Yes.
Whenever you're coming to the end of the round, you get a thing called a clapper. So the person in your corner will have a clapper. It's a wee, not machine. It's just a wee thing that they clap, they push, and it does this. So you know how long you've got left. Well, the clapper sounded. And what happens in a fight is when they know that they've got only 30 seconds left, they give it everything. And I think that that's what the church has to do. Before the rapture of the church, you know, Isaiah 60 verse 2 says that darkness covers the land, deep darkness to people. But you, talking to the church, arise and shine. I believe the church has to go supernova. Talking about the remnant, supernova. You have to throw caution to the wind. You have to preach to the people that hate you. You have to witness to the people that want your head on a platter. You have to just lay it all out there, because there's not long left of the ride. There's not long left of this age. Sorry for speaking for so long.
No, that I love that fight analogy where we're digging in. It's getting close to the end. Those that perceive it and understand the times, we're on board, brother, with what you just shared. Thank you. I thought that was excellent. And also, you mentioned the corporate model of the churches today. Interesting. We saw that change in the 70s and 80s here in America. And you also had me in with they just want bums in the seats, right? I think I'm going to put that in the title of the podcast today, Bums in Seats, the new goal of the modern church. I'm kidding. Not the title. Anyway, we're going to talk more about restructuring the world systems, a fascinating topic, with Pastor Gary McKibben of Victory Church Belfast when we come back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. If you are listening to this via audio podcast, help us out by leaving a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify to help the show rise in the rankings. And I've told you this for a couple weeks now. We've got a brand new YouTube channel, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo on YouTube. Pastor Gary McKibben is our guest today, author of Guardians at the Gate, End Time Equipping of the Church, and he's the pastor of Victory Church Belfast in Ireland. So, brother, I'm very interested in hearing more about your take on what's happening regarding the world systems and the restructuring. I think you used a different word other than restructuring. Reshaping?
Reshaping.
Yeah. Tell us more about what you're perceiving.
Well, I think that, you know, we're seeing this in a lot of different elements. So we're seeing it with the rise of artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I briefly mentioned Stargate and all of that in America, DeepSeek in China. And all of these elements are, well, we know that are coming because of Revelation 13. We know that the different reshaping is coming because of the book of Daniel and Revelation 17, that there will be a 10-region system. Now, generally, it's seen as, it's mentioned as a 10-king system, but it's not really 10 kings. It's 10 regions. It's 10 rulers. And, you know, we've seen certain things in the rhetoric, certain things being put into play to reshape a new world order. And this is where we're at now. You know, we're seeing this sort of grow, you know, but it's to understand its roots. If you go back to 1939, Alice A. Bailey, the theosophist, the Luciferian, wrote and talked about the need for a restructuring or a reshaping in the world. And this is obviously not in terms of biblical reshaping. This is in terms of a Luciferian ideal. And the purpose that she put was equity, the idea that, you know, certain countries have more resources than others. And then this was later taken up. And you had people like Rifkin, Jeremy Rifkin, another New Ager, who believed that the way that would happen, the way there would be this reshaping, this rejigging of the world, is to allow for government, to take over economy, to rule the economy and make the decisions for people. Now, that is basically the model for the World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and be happy. Yeah. And we know that we're heading in that direction. But then in the last few months, we've seen things like Syria toppled. You know, we've seen Recep Tayyip Erdogan step into Syria and basically cause that, removing the regime that had its biggest influence, Iran, from the territory and actually reshaping that model there. Mm. We're also seeing people like Mohammed bin Salman, who, like I said, will, according to the Abrahamic Shield model, will have authority in Gaza. But he is also likely, through talks with Donald Trump, to get some sort of invitation into the G7. And that's been his desire. It's a reshaping. Now, I think Mohammed bin Salman is a really interesting character. Not that I am on the lookout for the Antichrist, but he is certainly someone I could see in the 10 region or 10 king system that the beast model is built upon, Revelation 17. He is known for his, I guess, undeniable involvement in certain disappearances of people and certain things that happen to journalists. But also, you know, you look at his aspirations. His aspirations, even though he claims to, you know, he's from the Saudi community, he's from the Saudi royal family, his aspirations are certainly not based on a religious rhetoric. You know, he's more open and trying to be all things to all people. It's also not by, hasn't caught me off guard that his name, Salmon, means peace and safety. And 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says that when they're crying out peace and safety, yeah, sudden destruction comes upon them.
Wow.
But then you also have the rhetoric that came out from Donald Trump. Now, I think Donald Trump is the right man for the office. I am in favor of an awful lot of what he has done already. Not a big fan of Stargate. I'm not a big fan of his involvement with Sam Ellison of Oracle. I'm not a big favor of artificial intelligence being pushed. Mm-hmm. But he's also talked about the reshaping of things. He has had phone calls with Greenland. He has talked about the Gulf of Mexico, the Panama Canal. He has talked about Canada being the 51st state. And all of that is straight out of the Club of Rome model of the 10-region system of 1973. So in 1973, the Club of Rome, who are a bunch of basically top elite guys who got together as a think tank, and really, if you trace it back, they have their belief system right out of theosophy, which is theosophy is simply Luciferianism. I don't care what way you cut it. It dates back to Blavatsky, and she believed that Lucifer was the real god and Yahweh was the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the Club of Rome, they came up with their model in 1973 of dividing up the world into 10 regions that are more easily managed. Okay, so you've got the African Union, the North American Union, and all of these different areas. And the exact model that Donald Trump talked about, Greenland, Canada, the Gulf of Mexico, the Panama Canal, they are all from the first part of the first region in that 10-region system. Now, we could go into the Club of Rome, but the problem is that there's been many modeled off the same elements, right? You know, they've tried to, there was a movement of technocracy back in the 70s and the 80s that talked about dividing the world up into 10 regions that were run by technocrats, that were run, you know, basically by those who had, I guess, knowledge in different positions. And we know that Elon Musk's grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, he was a technocrat and he was part of that. And actually used to be the chairman of a society that was called Social Credit System. Mm. It was a social credit society. So what we're seeing right now, I personally believe, we're seeing a lot of good things coming out of the American administration, but we're seeing a lot of big things restructuring in the world. Another one to mention is Britain. Britain, yeah. I voted, regardless of people hate me for it, I voted to leave Europe. I was in favor of Brexit. But now we've got Sir Keir Starmer going back to Europe and talking about a European reset with Britain. That's what's happening. It's undemocratic. And a lot of this stuff is undemocratic. But the place, the area, the world is being reshaped. And unfortunately for the Christian, if you're blind to this, it's being reshaped according to the lines that we see in Revelation 17, according to ways to manage society. And whilst that's happening, what is the big rhetoric? They want to build an AI infrastructure. Now, we are currently in a race where China's racing against America, America's racing against Europe, Europe's racing against Britain, Saudi Arabia, and the Riyadh Declaration of 16th of December 2024 showed that Saudi Arabia wants to be number one at this. Everybody's racing for AI dominance. Hmm. But AI dominance will only allow for a global infrastructure for this 10-region system to work. We are racing toward the reshaping of things. Yes. On top of that, now, I know everybody's concerned about artificial intelligence. That's one aspect of it. There's also organoid intelligence. Now, organoid intelligence, I don't know if you've ever watched this, seen this, looked at this. This is meant to outpace AI. And what they're basically doing, scientists are taking stem cells to grow up human brain cells in a lab and then allowing that to be programmed in a humanoid fashion. Wow. So that it could, at the minute, they've got like stem cells playing Pong on the computer, but it's just basic they're directing these brain cells. Now, this allows for the capability of what? It allows for the capability of Matthew 24, verse 37. You know, as in the days of Noah, so it will become in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What happened in the days of Noah? Well, we know that there was gene modification through the watchers, the fell with Shemiez and Azazel, that corrupted mankind. And that caused this permeation of sort of gene deformities that took mankind literally away from their human side, so that Noah was the only one righteous of his generation. And we're at that. We're at the time in which the structure of AI, Starlink, imagine Starlink covering the whole of the world, that they now have an integrated system that they can now track and trace everybody wherever they go. Like we had the advert on the British TV. I'm sorry for talking so quick.
It's okay.
We had the advert on the British TV at Christmas that come this Christmas coming in 2025, there will be no more need in Britain for a physical ID. You will all be digital ID. And it was an advert, went out. And the reason was is because they said that, you know, we're so clumsy when we're trying to open up our wallets and get our ID out that sometimes we drop it. Oh, so you will need a digital ID. This is the lunacy of it, but we're all going in that direction.
Mm.
So you've got May 7th, there's a digital platform going into America, you know, and in regards to interstate travel. All of this is coming on board. And regardless of who is in power, we are heading towards the WEF's agenda of 2030, which is basically the biblical agenda of a 10 regional system that will be taken over by one. And you could get into, and we don't have time for it, but you could get into the likes of Alice A. Bailey's externalization of hierarchy, but that signifies 2025. She actually names 2025 as the time in which you see the return of the Matara, their Messiah.
Oh, we got to talk more about that next time, Gary. I mean, you brought up Helena Blavatsky. I haven't heard that name in a while. Their influence and Lucius Trust and this Luciferian movement and the ideology we're seeing warfare at just unprecedented levels. If you're paying attention as a Christian, we've just got to stay in the Word and keep on believing, fighting this good fight, brother. Thank you again, friends. The Prophecy Conference at Victory Church Belfast coming up the end of February and the 1st of March. Thank you so much for your time, brother. Really great to reconnect with you. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.